I wonder how Acts 2 church meeting went. What did it look like? Eh? Some guy trying to dress kind of alright, standing in front, kind of prepared, etc., etc., with the coffee table. I think it was a bit messy sometimes. What do you think? Do you think Acts Church was messy? Godly messy. Godly messy with order. But yeah, just imagine. So thank you, Lord, just for having your way in our midst and for your freedom. If you've got any questions of what happens in worship or in ministry time, please come and chat to me. And even the words that we bring, not even, especially the words that we bring and that we share, test it. Because the word says that one prophesy and the other test. And every word shall be affirmed or confirmed by 2 to 3 witnesses. So if really, if I've shared a message or I've shared a word or somebody brings scripture or a vision and, oh man, it just does not sit with your spirit. I'm not talking about your flesh. If it challenges your flesh, we say hallelujah. But if it does not sit with your spirit, please come and chat afterwards. Because that's what we should do. We're going to try to cut this sermon in half. Who's glad to hear that? Hey, when do you hear the full sermon? Thank you, Demi. Demi is very authentic. Thanks, Demi. My arma heart. Yeah, we've been chatting this last 2 weeks. If you guys, Emmy, can you just turn this a bit down? Thank you. We've been chatting this last 2 weeks about being anchored. I'm not going to go into full detail. I really enjoyed last week of being anchored and the fact that our anchor is inside. It's Christ in us, with us. We're not being influenced about what happens on the outside. But in this week, I just realized once again, let's take heed to what the Lord says. I wanted to print a whole lot of t-shirts with the anchors on, and I'm just thinking maybe God is also sending a warning. So let's not wear the warning on our t-shirts necessarily. So I'm still seeking the Lord, but let's take heed in this season. God is saying be anchored. There might be a very good reason for all of us or most of us to be anchored. And let's go and seek Him about that. Let's not only hear about it on a Sunday or in small group. Go to God and say, Lord, please speak to me. The Word says that the Holy Spirit will teach you about the things to come. We'll tell you. I didn't say, and the Holy Spirit will speak to the pastor, and the pastor will speak to you. No, that is not what the Word says. The Word says that the Holy Spirit will speak to us if we ask. So go and ask Him, Lord, what does being anchored mean to me? Now, I said to you guys this month, and especially today, we probably won't do the whole month. We'll chat about vision. We'll chat about the vision of Shofar Global. Not going to go into too much detail about the church. You can go and Google all the details. But I am going to stand still at the vision, what we have for this year globally, but especially the scripture. And I'm not going to flesh it out in context of the vision. I feel in my heart to flesh it out in context of the scripture in the Word. In other words, yes, it's our vision, but what does the Word say? The Word that we, the scripture that we have for this year, what does it actually mean to us? As Christians, as those following the Lord. You can go to the next one. Our vision this year is just being one. And I said there, we're going to look at what is the biblical truth of unity in diversity? What is the biblical truth of unity in diversity? Now, the guys prayed, and this is what was on their hearts, is being one, the mind, heart, and hands, and feet of Christ. In other words, that vision has been around for about 2,000 years. Because that is already all of our vision. We're just going to flesh it out this year, and especially now for a couple of Sundays. But then they use this scripture, and I like this, and we're going to flesh it out today. John 17:21. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. This is Jesus at the Word. As you are in me, Father, I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. So this is the scripture that the guys had on their hearts, and I'm going to, in biblical context, just say, let's stand still. What does that actually mean to you and me as a believer? Before I do that, let's pray. Father, thank you that you give us your food, your manna, and your heart this morning. Thank you that you've given us your word, and the Logos, your Son, and I pray that he will speak to every heart and break open your word for us. that we can know what being one and what unity and oneness in your word and in your heart really, really means. And also conviction in this year of how can we walk in such a oneness as we've seen with you, Father God, your Son and your Holy Spirit. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to go to John 17. If you've got your Bibles there, otherwise most of the scriptures are on there. John 17, 21. We're going to look at the context here. Christ is at the word. He is praying. Hallelujah. Who likes praying? Who wants to grow in praying, in prayer? Definitely. Jesus prayed a couple of times. Many a times they speak about him going up the mountain, spending time with the Lord and praying. Now here, he is praying. Firstly, he prays for himself. Some religious folks will think, he prays for himself, then he prays for his disciples, and thereafter he prays, you can go and look in your Bible, he prays for all believers. And it's there where we find this vision scripture, in that part, the part where he prays for all believers. I'm not going to read the whole of this section, just for time's sake, but let's read there. Jesus prays for all believers. I pray not only for these, being his disciples, you'll just see up above, but also for those who believe in me through their message. By the way, we all, as far as I know, we all believe in him. We all believe in Christ. So we all fall into this bracket. Not only us, there's many churches around South Africa and here in the Western Cape, and especially here in Tableview, there's a lot of churches getting together today in this. Many a times, one common denominator, and that is we all believe in Jesus. So, this prayer, the scripture, refers to all of us. May they all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I am in you. May they also be one in us, so the world may believe you sent me. I'm not going to read all that scripture now. I just want to take out five things that I believe is very important. Then we're going to take two and run with them quickly this morning. To say, what is true oneness? What is being one? What is unity for us as Christians? What does it mean, and how the heck do we get there? How do we get there? Who's ever been in a, not been in a marriage, but yeah, who's been in a friendship, or a relationship, or a rugby team, or in the army in a peloton, or in a CrossFit team, or in a choir, where you had such a team dynamic and unity that was really a blessing. You had there wasn't issues or too many issues, or at least if there were issues, they weren't there at the end. Hence, the nice fuzzy feeling in reminding you of this. Who's been in such a thing before? Great. Great. And what was your experience? What comes to mind? If you should say, put words to your feelings, what could it be? Safe. Like that. Safe. Grace. Embrace. Anything else? What was the emotion of that team dynamic? What blessed you in that unity? Sharing the same passion, yes. Commitment. Amen. So love was involved. Yes, there's a lot of things, and we all actually yearn for that. I yearn for it in my marriage. I yearn for it in my friendship. I yearn for it in actually, I've experienced it a lot in Men's Monday as well, just get together and sharing the passions. But we all like that. The scripture says, may they all be one as you, Father, and I are in me and I am in you. May they also be one in us so the world may believe you sent me. Now, five things that I think is good to highlight here. Remember, we're speaking vision, but we're looking at the biblical context of this particular scripture and saying, what is oneness? We're going down to the foundations. And we're saying, what is true oneness for us as Christians? What is oneness for us as a family? What is oneness for us as a couple? And then what is oneness for us as a church? Firstly, what I picked up there, which is quite important, you can go to the next slide, is that he refers to all believers. You can hit enter twice. But he's referring to all believers. Christ's heart is that all believers would be one, have a unity. In other words, he's not saying, hey man, those couple of guys, that holy huddle that you have on Monday evenings, those are the ones that you need to be one with. No. He's saying that all believers, may be one. That there will be unity amongst those who believe in Christ. That includes the NG Kerk. That includes the AGS. That includes all our family around. The Josh Jens. I don't know. There's a million and one churches. But he's referring to all believers. And he's saying, hey, he's calling a oneness amongst all believers. Don't we see the contrary? Don't we see quite the opposite in life? We actually do. And in fact, we see a lot of that. So this scripture is a massive challenge. Can I have an amen on that? It is a massive challenge. It's not something that we've seen. But how many denominations have you noted in Revelation is in heaven? How many was it again? One. There's one. Thank you, Demi. That's cool. Thanks, Demi. Anyway, there's one denomination in heaven. All believers in unison, in unity, in love, walking. So we're saying, Lord, this is quite a high bar because we're not seeing that at all. But we know this. He's not only speaking to me and Peter, Ben and Petri because we get along. And oh yeah, and to glo Willem wat ons sê. And oh, so the four of us got together and we had this thing going and Christ was referring to us. No, no, no. He said, this is my heart, that all believers be one as I am one in the Father and the Father in me. It's quite crazy. Second thing that I think is important, as you Father in me and I am in you, a relationship bond. I can root for Western Province and I can have a jersey and I can have a Brighton Pulse tattoo on my shoulder. But the thing is, if there's no relationship really with the people, you might think you know them, you might think you're brothers in arms, but you're not really if there's no relationship. What is important for me in Scripture is relationship as well. It's not a mere fact that I've signed some paper, or if I signed a contract, or I clicked something, or I put a sticker on my bumper. It's a relational oneness that we've called into being. Who's ever been at a restaurant and where people from another church or friends or people that you just meet on my city, where you sit next to somebody and you start chatting and you realize, wow, the spirit that is in my heart is in their heart. And you click like, with them you click better than with friends or family that you've had for 10, 20 or 30 years. You've just clicked more in 3 minutes. There was more life sharing, there was more love sharing in that one moment, that 3 minutes, you walk away so rich. There was a oneness that you cannot explain, yet you don't have that with a family member that you've known for 30 years. I think that's the oneness we're talking about. It's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual relational thing. Hey, my dad's your dad. Tell me again that testimony. Yeah, he's done that in my life as well. Did you know what he did? And then that clicks. We've had that a couple of times and it's really amazing. So it's a relational bond. It's spiritual. It's not physical. It's not a physical thing at first. It's a spiritual thing. Third thing I thought was important is oneness is Jesus' heart. Oneness is not my heart. It's not my idea. It's not Shofar's idea. It's not anybody else's idea out there. It's Jesus' heart. Jesus has oneness and that unity on his heart. That is his heart for his bride. That is his heart for his people. Pietri's got two little girls. I've got two little girls. I believe it's Pietri's heart that there is oneness. Well, it's maybe for himself firstly, but secondly, there's oneness between his young ones. Likewise, in my house, I so crave that there's a oneness between my little girls, and it sucks when there's not. Not only does it suck for them, but it sucks for me. We really want a oneness in our families. There's a blessing. We'll get to that. Fourth thing that I've noted, the scripture says, may there also be one in us. Where do we find oneness, guys? As Christians, where can we find oneness? In the Lord. In us. Jesus so beautifully said, may they all be one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be one in us. Not because we're here in church. We can be here together, but we're not one at all. Have you had that? Jy kan nod en smile by die kersfeestafel en gaan eet en ja, dankie tannie, dis lekker, ja, ja, but you're not one at all. There can be so much fakeness around, it's not even funny. It's a heart thing, it's a heart condition that God woos us into. And he says, come to me, die to self, die to culture, die to your own ideas, get in me, get humble, get in me, because in me, you'll find that. We're going to flesh that out just now. The fifth thing that I thought was quite important is why. Why would we want to oneness? We live in a culture where there's very little of unity. Unity is really not very important. I see the communities kind of getting together to save water these days and freaking out. I've saved 16 drops of water. Well done. High five. 16 likes, 23 shares. Well done. So there's a bit of oneness, but it does really go further than saving 16 drops of water these days. Somebody might fall over, have a flat tire, but you drive past. Like, I've got somewhere to go. Can't stop right now. Can't be in unity with you. Got things to do, places to go. Yet Christ says to us, why? So that the world will know that you have sent me. There's something of the glory of God. There's something of the love of God where brothers comes together, where we operate in unity and in love, even if it doesn't make sense. Because man, oh man, we're actually so weird, but the Spirit helps us to be one. That is a blessing. That is a light to the world. If people see that you're pregnant, you just got your baby, or you're sick at home, and somebody out of church or six people out of church brings you food that you can't even close your fridge, and your niece walks in or your tani walks in and says, oh, come on, the course for now. It speaks to their heart. It's like, I don't know this in the world. If somebody hears, well, you can't make ends meet and you don't have enough, and somebody just randomly blesses you, gives you an envelope, and you go and testify at work about it, they're like, what? Somebody gave you R1,000? What? It speaks of oneness. It speaks of something that the world does not know. No, what is oneness? Oneness speaks of unity and of being of one heart, spirit, and accord. Is it a fleshly thing? Is it a fact that myself and Pietri, we always have to agree on everything? Cognitive. Should myself and Pietri always think the exact same thoughts about everything in church life, for instance? It's not possible, you're right, yes. But do we share heart? Should we share heart? Yes, absolutely. Quickly, Psalm 133 says, and I'm just going to use the bottom and the top and bottom parts of that scripture. Go and look at the whole one. But you know the cliche already. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. And then at the end it says, for there the Lord has appointed the blessing, life forevermore. How many times have we quoted as charismatics? It's not exactly the scripture there, but we've kind of used it in that sense. Blessing lies where there is unity. Where there's unity, God commands a blessing. There is such a blessing, as we said, on team or in marriage, where there's unity. Now, I've alluded to this, but being in unity and being in one with somebody else does not mean that we have to look and act and react the same. It is to be humble and to... Why are you laughing, my wife? Okay. Somebody else? Volgende. Apparently, that's something that I'm still learning. But oneness is unity and diversity. You may wear dresses. I said, there's a place where you can be yourself. There's unity and diversity. In preparation, one thing that came up was quite important. And unfortunately, I have to use an example here of just people I know from way back. Don't worry, it's none of you guys. But this guy was, he's a Christian. He believes in unity in the home. And myself and Edna, we won't make any major decisions or not even any medium decisions without unity. Because I believe in the principle of where there's unity, God commands a blessing. I believe in the principle of accountability. I see in part and understand in part. In other words, I need her to voice her opinion firstly and then to bring a different side of the picture of God to me so that I can make a godly decision. We can make a godly decision. Not only there, but in friendships and definitely in church as well. So I believe in all of those things. Yet, in these people that I know, in their home, unity was so important. But unity became more important than sticking to the word. And the example I want to use is, who knows what a plumb line is? If you want to build a wall and you want to build straight, you have a string with something heavy hanging at the bottom just to show you what the straight line is. This is a waterpas, maar net vertical. In other words, you keep it like that to build your bricks one upon the other and make sure it's not skew. So you have a plumb line. You've got a line that gives you the right line to go by, to build by. And so now, if I should have a plumb line here, it goes down straight, I can either build next to it, or I can go skew if I don't adhere to the plumb line. Now, getting back to the people, or there's many such examples out there, to something that came to remembrance, is that unity was so important, but it was not sticking to the plumb line of the word. In other words, my wife said, yes, we should buy that holiday in Mauritius. And yet, God's word has led us somewhere else. But it was so important to get that unity that, yes, because there's unity, we should actually do it. It is God's will. Yet the word of God, the plumb line, did not call us to that place. I'm not sure if everybody's getting me on this one. Unity between a wife and a husband is important. But it needs to be subject to the word and the will of God as well. Our unity, if the line is down here, straight down the middle, let's call this the plumb line. Our unity needs to be on the plumb line of God. Because if I'm getting unity with my wife about something or a decision, but it is outside the will, the plumb line, the word of God, that unity doesn't mean much. Demi and Stephen can have a great unity on Sunday night thinking, oh man, we need to experiment some stuff. I've never tried speed. What do you think? What about Dacha? Dacha would be so much. Yes. Dacha? Do you also feel Dacha? Yes, I feel Dacha. Must be the Lord. There's unity. Let's have Dacha. You understand? Sorry, I had to maybe get a very weird example so that I can catch everybody's mind. But smoking Dacha for them on a Sunday night will probably be not on the plumb line. That will be on the dumb line. All right. So you need to be careful. Hallelujah. The point got home. Praise God. So unity is important, oneness is important, but guys, in whatever it is, if it's your marriage or your friendship or your home or your family, especially your family-in-law and your business, and then your church and your small group, yes, unity is so important, but unity needs to be on the plumb line. So we need our hearts to connect, but also double-check with the Spirit and the Word of God. And I just realized how important this plumb line is. Amos 7 verse 8 says, the Lord asked me, what do you see, Amos? I replied, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, I am setting a plumb line among my people, Israel. I will no longer spare them. Now, for me today, that Christ Jesus is the plumb line. I can have unity with my wife about a lot of stuff, but if Christ is not in that unity, it's not real unity. It's not going to lead to life. It's going to lead to death. Look at nature, unity and diversity. Does all flowers look the same? Stupid rhetorical question. No, they don't. To some people it is, but if you go to Namibia, I hear it's so beautiful. The desert is just so amazing. It's beautiful nature there and the way it operates. You can go into the Amazon and it's also great and it's also amazing, but it's different. You can go up Table Mountain, you can go into the Klein Karoo, you can go to Antarctica. And everywhere you go, it's just amazing. And it's so much different. Yet there's a oneness and a unity because of God. It doesn't work the same. It's the same. I almost want to say the same rules doesn't apply, yet it does. But it's so vastly different. It's so diverse. Yes, if you take nature, if you take man out, it kind of pretty well operates on its own. And so sometimes people come and talk to me about church and structure and say, oh, but there shouldn't be structure in church, etc. I'll just point out the window and say, God created nature and there's a lot of structure there. But it's not about the structure, it's about the life in the structure. It's not to put the cart before the horses. Because if you take structure, well, firstly out of you, you'll die. But if you take structure out of nature, it'll be a total mess. But we don't celebrate the structure, the order. We don't celebrate that in nature. We celebrate the diversity. But yet the beautiful oneness of that. It's a bit of a contradiction, actually. If you look at it from a human perspective, because we so want everybody to scream for the stormers. So everybody to like a braaibroodjie that the way I like braaibroodjies, because that's just the way you do. So we as humans, funny enough, find it hard to always open up our hearts for oneness in diversity. And so I believe our challenge in this season is let's have oneness in our diversity, as in nature. But let's stick to the plumb line. I'm going to skip the next part. Being one sounds simple, but how do I do it? We said to each other, there's going to be one denomination one day in heaven, yet we've got a couple of thousands down here on earth. How do we make sure? And I'm not speaking only church, I'm speaking my marriage, my friendships, my small group, guys, colleagues at work. How are we going to see a oneness in our lives? How do we do it? How do we do it? Any takers for the question? Eh? Abiding, yes. Prayer, yeah, a lot of prayer, yes. Oneness and unity can come from a lot of prayer. We're just going to go back to John 17. That's what I said we'll do today. May they also be one in us. Guys, we can only have oneness and true unity if we're found in the Lord. If you're found in the Lord, not in your own ideas, not in your own cool space, but if you're truly found in the Lord and in His Word, within His will and His Spirit. If you look at the Greek definition of in, because it's weird. Lord, may there be in me and I'm in Him and God is in me and I'm in God. It's like, oh, it's pretty weird, but it's a spiritual concept. What does it mean to be in something? Well, thanks, they've already given the answer. But if you could go look at the Greek definition, one of the words that stood out for me was rest. To be in something is to rest in something. And to rest, if Petri, by the grace of God and the team around him, runs with worship, I am so at rest about worship, I can just pitch here on a Sunday and things happen. I'm truly thankful for that. It's godly, and it just happens. But I can rest in the fact that he takes responsibility. And because I can rest in that, I trust him. I trust that things will happen in worship. And so it's exactly the same. How can I trust in, or how can I be found in Christ? Is when I rest in him and when I trust him. In my marriage, if I want unity and oneness in my marriage, I can expect things from Edna in the flesh. And we've done this, and she'll probably laugh now because I've unfortunately done these things. But I would so want to try to change her, and she would so want to try to change me many times. But we've noted that if she is number two in my life and I'm number two in her life, in other words, behind the Lord, it is such a weight that falls from our shoulders. My expectation is firstly not on her, but on Christ. Saying, Christ, you put us together. You need to make this work. I'm found in Christ. My trust, my eyes, in other words, is not on my wife to perform and be all the perfect helpmeet, because I know she's a work in progress. Probably a lot less work needed than myself. But I put my eyes on Christ. And so that takes the load off her. And we're found in Christ. We rest not in the fact that Edna, there's one thing. I would like her to do more activities with me outdoors, like hiking or running. She's grown in that. And for nine and a quarter years, I was telling her that. It did not make her run any further or faster or at all. Yet, when I say to the Lord, this is not a game breaker. It's not the end of the world. I firstly repent just for being selfish maybe, or where I've missed this one in preparation in praying for my wife way back. I missed that one. But I find myself in Christ. Firstly, He brings peace to my soul. And bottom line is we've been running together this year a little, or end of last year a little bit. And so Christ calls us to a place that says, yes, you should have unity. Yes, you should have oneness. But there's just this little thingy. You need to be found in me. You need to trust me and not look to the person. If you in church found you find your oneness in Retief or Edna or Petri or the rest of the guys here, if you find your oneness in my performance or in the way I do things that you like it, you're going to run into a wall. Yet if you have an expectation of church, have an expectation of me, but it is found in Christ, it is one that is true to the word and one that is seasoned with 1 Corinthians 13, there's better chances of this relationship working. But you're thinking, oh man, at last, you go to another church and you say, oh man, I found the right people. They're just, the coffee works. Everything works here for me. The sermon works for me. They're not too long. They don't do weird stuff in ministry time. It works for me. And you have your eyes not on Christ. It's just a matter of time where, before you get disillusioned. John 15:5 says the following about being in Christ. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. And it goes on. It's a beautiful picture. How can we be found in Christ? To be plugged into him. To be plugged into him and his ways. Remember to stay on the plumb line. So firstly, how can we do that? How can we work on oneness and unity with all believers? That includes your neighbor that's a believer. That includes the guy in another church that you don't understand or that might be persecuting you. It might include the guy that's got a tele-TV ministry that you sometimes cringe for. Yet if he believes in Christ as a believer, and you need to get over yourself and say, Lord, how can I be in oneness with this guy? How can I pray for him? How can I pray for her? Second thing is looking to Jesus. If I want this Bible, I'm not going to say, hey, Edna, hey, foot, give me the Bible. Hey, hand, please give me the Bible. No, I look her in the face. If I've got fairly decent manners, I look her in the face, I look her in the eyes and say, hey, lief, can I give me the Bible? Oh, yes, I believe. And she's such a submissive wife, and she just gives it to me without saying anything. Wow, amazing. How can we find oneness? How can we find unity? You are, I know that. How can we find that? If we look to Christ. If I want to walk the best road I can with whom you are, I need to look to Christ. If he wants to walk the best road with me, he has to look to Christ. The moment he looks at me, pear shape. Peter, Ben, and myself, we've known each other for long. I've probably disappointed him more times than I can imagine. I'm so sorry. But the bottom line is, if he looks to me for a oneness and a unity, he's going to be, I'm going to dismally fail him. Likewise, he needs to look to Christ. Why am I saying that we need to look to Christ for oneness? We find it in Scripture. Colossians 1 verse 17 to 18. And he is before all things. This is Jesus. And in him all things hold together. In him all things hold together. I'm not going to try to keep church together. I'm not going to try to even keep my family together in the flesh. I'm going to do what I have to do in obedience to the word. He holds all things together. If I find myself in him, if I rest in him, if I trust in him, if I look to him. I'm not going to start a rap. And he is the head of the body. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. I'm also born from the dead. You've been born from the dead. But he's the firstborn from the dead. That in everything he might be preeminent, leading, that he may lead. That's what it means. I'm going to read it again. May it speak to your heart. How can we be in true oneness? How can we be one? How can we walk in unity as Christians, as all believers? Loving not only our own holy huddle, but loving all Christians out there so that we can be a picture to the world, because I all want this. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together, and he is the head of the body. When I wanted the Bible, I looked at Edna's head. I looked her in the eyes. If I want to have the best relationship with Pietri, I need to look up to Christ. Say, Lord, you know his brilliant, brilliant strong points, and you know his shortcomings. I sometimes don't know how to discern them or what they mean to me. But Christ, as I look to you, oh man, such a unity can be born in our relationship. Lord, this person in my cell group irritates the living daylights out of me. Look to Christ. He knows them. He's been in their boots. He knows their boots. He knows their hurt. He knows how to sacrifice for their hurt and shortcomings. The church is the body. Who's the head? Jesus. The moment if you think, yeah, I'm the head, I'm not. I'm the other donkey. That's it. I'm the other body part. That's it. Oneness in Christ. Second thing, why are we looking to Christ? I'm going to try to wrap this up in 3 minutes. God help me. Wives, submit to your husbands. Everybody relax. Let's just read the scripture. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Please don't see this out of a heart of hurt. Let's just look at the scripture and may God just speak to us. His body and himself its savior. A savior. Not one to rule over. Not one to hurt. Not one to come with the hip. Whip. Whip. That's the word. Not with a whip. He's the savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit everything to their husbands. Husbands. Here's the more difficult part. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Guess what? Husbands, by the way, you need to die for your wife. Love her by dying to yourself firstly. But Christ is the Savior of the church. And he's the head of the church. Not Steve Stunning. Not Piet Pochenpool. Jesus Christ is the Savior of this church. His universal church, which includes his local church like ourselves. Jesus the head. Jesus the Savior. Jesus the head. Jesus the Savior. In Colossians, Christ is the head because he holds all things together. In Ephesians, Christ is the head because he is Savior. How can we walk in oneness? How can we be one to look to the Savior, to look to the head? In 1 Peter 5, it's not on there, I think. It just says, and when the chief shepherd, Christ, in brackets, appears, you will receive the conqueror's unfading crown of glory. Who's the opperherder, the Afrikaans says? Who's the chief shepherd? Jesus. We look to Christ. Because he will not fail us if we be found in him. Third thing. So we're going to be, how are we going to do this? We're going to be found in them, in Christ, in God. Not in culture, not in my own ideas, not in my own comforts and discomforts. In him. And remember that it might be challenging because it's the word included. It's the whole word. Nothing more, nothing less. It's not this nice, airy, fairy idea. It is the word to be found in the truth. Secondly, we're going to look to Christ. I'm not going to look to Petri or Edna in friendship or in marriage. If I want true unity, I say, Christ, please help me to shut up now. I've not been able to do it for 9.5 years, but I believe you will help me to start shutting up in this moment so that I can have patience and so that we can grow through this stumbling block. Who's ever had that in a relationship? Okay, great. Not just us. 6 of us. Hallelujah. And the third thing that we're going to take home as we end off, how can we walk in oneness if we see so much Aina out there? If we walk by the Spirit. If we walk by the Spirit of God. Romans 8:14, all those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. Remember Psalm 133, I don't know, have it up there, but remember once Psalm 133 says, where brothers dwells in unity. Not those who are in the same church dwells in unity, or those that believe or in the same political party, or those that all wear black pants and ties. No. It says we're brothers. We're brothers. We're brothers. If you're truly a son or a daughter of God, you will walk by the Spirit of God. It's a supernatural thing. And God will sometimes tell you, okay, now you need to speak. Even though you think you've got the answer, now you need to shut up. In love. He'll probably not use that word, but you get the drift. Fear will not do the talking. Your fleshly conformity will not, and culture will not, but to be led by the Spirit of God. Guys, this is the long road. I believe it's the truthful answer, but it's the long road to walk in true unity. Not with my idea, the way I've been doing things, the way I think my father did and his father and father. No, shush. What is the Spirit saying? What is Christ the head saying? Don't run away. Fight this relationship through. Bleed it through. In love. Because at the end of it, you'll reap godly fruit and it will speak to the nations. It will speak to the Gentile world. That you guys that seem incomparable, unlovable, that cannot probably make ends meet and make things work, somehow loves each other and somehow lays down your lives for each other. It is insane. It's weird. Insane is not a good word to use. I apologize. I'm going to skip that other scripture that I have. Lastly, always love. If you want to test anything, how to walk in oneness, Jens Jacobs said to me when we started to pastor, he said to me, ministry must do what love commands. Ministry must do what love commands. That's not an easy rule to live by. In other words, sometimes love will be for Edna to say no. But yet, moments later, for the same type of thing, to say yes to Narina, because that is love now. Not contrary to the word of God, but what is love in this moment? Sometimes love is to shush, not say anything. Sometimes love is to talk the word of God, the truth of God. Therefore, God's chosen ones, holy and loved, put on heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, accepting one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Above all, put on love, the perfect bond of unity. Please stand with me. Let's pray. God, thank you that we know that we can't be one in the flesh. Our sin nature and fallenness is just too much if we're not totally consumed by and taken over by your Holy Spirit and by Christ's work in our lives. So Jesus, we say thank you that Scripture says that we can be one and that we can walk in unity. We can walk in love with one another if we're found in you. Thank you, Father God, that we can walk in oneness and unity if we in difficult situations even, or places where our character is so tested, where we look to the head and not to the hand or the body that so irritates or so worries us. Thank you, Jesus, that I declare you are the head of this church. Thank you, Jesus, that I declare that you are the head of this church and that we can in love look to you and that you will grant us the grace to walk in unity with one another. Not only in our church, but in the bigger shofar and with all believers that you bring across our paths. Thank you, Lord, that secondly, that we will walk by the Spirit and not the flesh. We will walk by the Spirit and not culture and my own ideas or my own pride. But that we will walk by your Spirit, the humble one, the counselor. And lastly, that we will walk in love. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. We thank you that we believe and we know that you've brought forth freedom here this morning. Also grant us the freedom and the love and the grace to walk in love with brothers and sisters in Christ. By this the world will know that you're my disciples, that you love one another. Love is not there because my brother and sister is perfect or acts perfectly. No, because I believe Christ will complete the job that he started in their lives as he will in my life. Thank you that you grant us that grace for one another. In Jesus' name, amen.